Is America exceptional?
Yeah. It's exceptional in a couple of respects from my point of view, in that prosperity, plenty, has been a defining characteristic. We've had plenty of free land. We've had, in effect, a virgin continent, and everybody understands that there were natives here, and we treated them badly. But we've just been exceptional, in at least the regard that we are very, very prosperous, that we have a prosperous history that really no other country has.
So it is our the exception, you know, of American exceptionalism, right, is basically greater financial success,
right,
in a shorter period of time.
There's a wonderful book by a guy named Potter called The People of Plenty, which details this idea that we've lived our lives, social, political, and so on, in the context of prosperity. We don't have a deep history of rising out of terrible economic medieval circumstances. Mm. We're a country of, say, post 1700, with a rise on a worldwide basis of prosperity, but we never had the prior experience.
Mm-hmm. Now you have prosperity, I suppose, could be called a virtue. In America is generally talked about, particularly in the beginning of America, if you read some of the stuff the founding fathers were saying, right, that this was a very virtuous place, an inherently good nation. As you've already pointed out, we were terrible to the Native Americans and continue to be terrible to the Native American. Mom and I just went to Lowe's supermarket. They had some of the staff working there dressed up, headdresses, right? And it was all, you know, obviously all white people.
Right.
Right. And they seemed pretty oblivious to how offensive it was. So certainly that mistreatment existed back then, continues to, and it's not just the Native Americans. Mom and I are Jewish, as you know. Mm-hmm. Not always great, although there has been a decent amount of financial prosperity. I think that's one of the things that makes Jews difficult to understand. But currently, number one target of hate crimes in this country. And obviously, African Americans have pretty much been pretty bad for them. All the way up until Barack Obama got elected, and obviously that ended racism in this country.
No. Anyway, I think what you don't understand is that the prosperity that I'm talking about is the direct cause of the oppression of those people. For example, people came here in Virginia, in the Virginia colonies. By the end of the 1600s, they had understood that there was plenty of opportunity here, and that if they could get somebody to work, and they couldn't, their workers were very, very rare. You had to get them from Europe, and why would someone come to Europe to become a worker for you? Well, that led directly to the institution of slavery. It was the prosperity that tobacco, rice, other crops made possible that led the elite, the white elite, the colonial elite, to turn to slavery. There was no intention in the beginning to have a slave society. It was the prosperity that slave society could produce. And the same goes for the Indians. The Indians were on the land, free land.
There are guests grimacing now. You should be calling them Native Americans.
Well, at the time they were called.
Yeah, it's certainly true.
They were called natives and so on. And the interaction between those tribes and the colonists was such that it became clear that a factor in the prosperity was to drive them off this land, to drive them west and to...
Is there considerable primary evidence of this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jackson's Indian policy would be the most notable example, and that was that white people simply wanted the Cherokee lands, and the idea was to remove them. And the federal government, acting as an agent for those white people who wanted the land, passed the law, the removal law, that drove the Cherokees from Georgia and North Carolina and elsewhere across the Mississippi to so-called reservations. And the whites moved in, took over the land. And so it was really the...
They call that, as I understand, ethnic cleansing.
Well, it other than the fact that they did not kill them, as a matter of course.
Ethnic
many
cleansing
died.
Is different from genocide. It does not require their death.
Yeah, that's true. And it really did
And many of them died.
But I think the one thing that you have to see, and probably a really good argument, is that all ethnic cleansing has some sort of economic base where one group sees the possibility of becoming incredibly prosperous if they could just get rid of these people, and Jews, for example, in Europe.
Yes.
That's helpful there. And also, I think the one that really is interesting is to create a slave labor force to produce the products that produced wealth, most notably cotton. Cotton's the one that rises up in everybody's mind, but rice and indigo and other products were very, very profitable if you had the cheap labor to produce those products. And if we're going to get on to philanthropy, you know, these people then assemble capital in their hands through Indian removal, through slave labor, and white indentured servitude, for that matter. And then they are in a position, if they wish, to be philanthropic.
Yes, absolutely. And I believe that this prosperity leads directly into our ability to do that. And
so right.
That's why I was asking about the question. Just to go back to it, though, and the concept of exceptionalism. As you were talking, it seems to me you're right. This in Germany, they said if we can just get these Jews out of here, then we will be prosperous. Right? That didn't work out very well.
Well, it's very complicated. And the one thing you have to do, and I think this is absolutely crucial, is you have to dehumanize whatever group you wish to attack. Mm-hmm. You just can't attack them as equals.
These were savages. We were moving.
Well, these were people who. Who were a negative factor in the context of German culture. They were negative.
Yeah.
The really key thing, I think, and I've only come across this lately, and that was that when the English, for the most part, came to the New World, they refused to intermarry with the natives. The idea here was that this was just inappropriate from a Christian point of view, from a racial point of view. And so the idea here was that these, the only thought positive, remotely positive thought they had about the natives and to some extent the slaves was that you should Christianize them, but you shouldn't intermingle with them. Mm. They were to be remained separate and to be driven away. And ethnically, cleansing is a two-part drama. One is the maintenance of a pure ethnic group, white Anglo-Saxon Americans, and then the attack on another pure ethnic group, Indians, Native Americans, whatever you want to call them, and the employment of blacks, African Americans, as Africans in this case, as cheap labor. Mm-hmm. But the idea was it had to be separatism. They had to be separate. You had to the idea of a pure white Anglo-Saxon culture.
But as you pointed out, like in Germany and other places, it was not. This was not. America's not exceptional in wanting to create some sort of ethno-pure state. Other folks had tried that before us, right? But it did lead to prosperity.
Well,
for this country.
It certainly did, and I mean. The wealth that was created
on top of something very, very unvirtuous.
Oh, absolutely. And it was simply, I mean, if you go back and you try to think, how prosperous would America have been without slave labor? It would have been much less prosperous. Mm-hmm. How prosperous would America have been without driving the Indians off their land? Much less prosperous. Mm-hmm. So, but the fact is, our prosperity is a clouded reality.
Indeed.
And that's about it.